to this week's assist brought to you by Free Super Tips. I'm Warren Ashurst, and on the panel this week are Mark Langdon and Dan Childs to look ahead to another cracking weekend of action. Before we do look ahead, though, we have to reflect on what's been an absolutely fascinating midweek of Champions League action. We have had the semi-final second legs, of course, and we now know that Paris Saint-Germain will play Inter Milan in the final of the Champions League in Munich. Mark, we'll start with you and we'll start with Arsenal, because a lot of the people tuning into the assist will, I'm sure, have been a persuasion one way or another in terms of Arsenal getting to the final. Maybe a touch of relief from yourself and Dan that PSG finally got the job done.
I'd rather PSG than Arsenal win the Champions League, that's for sure. I thought Arsenal played well in Paris. We're unlucky in many respects that sort of, you know, there's a deflection for the first goal. They're then pushing forward. Donnarumma's and got the second. Donnarumma's made some great saves. Saka missed an unbelievable opportunity to get them right back in it with about 10 minutes to go. Where I sort of disagree with Mikel Arteta was that afterwards he said, how brilliant they were and sort of been the best team in the Champions League. And I can't see that. I would say from Arsenal's point of view, I don't think they should sort of fool themselves into thinking that they don't need to make some sort of adjustments to their squad to kind of get over the line or get closer to winning a major trophy next season. They did play well in Paris, and I know they won the XG over the two games, but they were trailing from the third or fourth minute, and that does impact the way that both teams played, I think, over the course of the two legs, because game state definitely plays a part. And I did think that Arsenal were just too direct at times. You know, this kind of long throw and, you know, over-reliance on set pieces. I think they need to find new ways to score goals, and whether that's bringing in a new striker that everybody seems to think that they need, or, you know, more creativity in sort of the midfield area, or maybe an improvement out on the left wing. I think plenty of work for Arteta and Arsenal to do over the summer. And I think I'm not an Arsenal fan, obviously, but if I was, I'd be sort of wanting Arteta at least when he's locked in a room with his coaching staff and directors, that they're thinking on how they can improve rather than kind of what he said publicly about how good they were and how good they are.
I just wonder, Dan, whether those comments from Arteta about, oh, we've been the best team in the competition, were to maybe slightly cloud the fact that, you know, they haven't got that striker in, which potentially could have seen them over the line.
Yeah, I just think he probably, quite understandably in a way, felt hard done by, because they had played really well in that second leg, and he's kind of, like, you know, turned it into a comment more about the whole competition. Whereas on that second leg, they did play well and were unlucky. I mean, on the striker, it's been clear they need a decent striker for a while. There's talk about getting two strikers now. I heard that Liam Delap was mentioned, signing him as a backup striker alongside another high caliber striker that they're targeting. But if they keep going down the long throw route, they'd need somebody akin, more to his dad, really, I suppose, like a Will Walton or something of Oxford to put those long throws in. But they did play superbly in the second leg, and I thought Donnarumma was absolutely outstanding for PSG over both games, and helped them get through to the final.
But Dan, do you think that Gyökeres is the kind of absolute elite forward that they need? He might be. I just don't know how good he is, I suppose.
I think, let's put it this way, that I think his stock is probably as high as it's going to be. I'm not sure how much potential there is for him to get better. I don't think he's like ESAC caliber, let's put it that way. But I think at the moment, sometimes it just depends where you are. And because they've got such a deficiency in that area, that I still think he would certainly be an upgrade on what they got. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I suppose I'm just sort of thinking he's not a banker, is he? You know, like, I think if you bought Lautaro Martinez, for instance, you go, yeah, you know, he definitely, you know, he's an elite forward. We know he's elite. Yeah. Or you go down that kind of, obviously not going to get Harry Kane, but like Harry Kane, Lewandowski, even if they were older, you'd think, all right, well, I might only get a couple of years out of them, but you know, we know that they're at the absolute top of their game. Because Gyökeres has played in the Championship and in Portugal, it's just really difficult to know like if he is that person that takes Arsenal to the next level. I mean, they might not get him, but I mean, a lot of the talk is that Gyökeres is the one that kind of that they're landing on at the moment.
I've seen a lot of clubs been linked with Patrick Schick, who's played at a high level and he's 29, and you know, and he's been linked with a lot of bigger clubs. Maybe they'll, you know, join the race for him. Who knows?
Well, the other two teams, of course, that were battling out the other semi-final had no issues in terms of finding the back of the net, because we had another goal fest on Tuesday evening, Mark. And, you know, where we said Mikel Arteta feels that Arsenal have been unlucky, I think Barcelona will be scratching their heads as well.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, Hansi Flick's style of play is admirable. Love watching all of these teams. It's so aggressive. They were the better side over the, 210 minutes. But I think there's two things there. One is that, you know, defending is part of football, and that they didn't defend well enough over. If you concede seven goals, difficult to go through in a Champions League semi-final. You know, set pieces were a problem in the first leg. Counter-attacks were the issue in the second game. And Inter, like, what is it, oldest team in Italy, oldest team in the Champions League, certainly up there in both categories, kind of running out of steam domestically, went out of the Italian Cup recently, looked like they were completely on their feet in that second half of the second leg, and yet still found a way. And, you know, there's something admirable about the way that they've got there, probably with less silky skilled players than some other teams that are in the competition. I think from a neutral point of view, PSG versus Barcelona would have been an absolute delight. But I do like watching sort of different styles come up against each other. I think that often makes for a really interesting game. And while PSG are favourites and will be favourites for the final, that quality on the counter-attack with Thuram and Martinez is going to be difficult to contain as well. So really looking forward to that final in Munich, even though there's no Premier League representation.
Just a quick word from you, Dan, on the final. I think you edging towards PSG as well.
Yeah, I just think that I mean, we mentioned there about Barcelona conceding seven goals over the two legs. I just think that PSG, this current PSG side, they do the other side of the game a lot better than they used to. I know that you know that Arsenal missed their chances in the second leg, but over four games now against Liverpool and Arsenal, they've only conceded two goals over the course of those four games, and a lot of that is down to they work a lot harder, you know, against the ball, and their goalkeeper is just absolute. I think he's the best goalkeeper in the world, and if it is tight, that could be the difference between you know, winning the trophy or not.
So that is the Champions League final for this season. Of course, the battle in the Premier League is hotting up to who will be playing in the Champions League next season, of course. And this week's big match on the assist certainly has a big impact on that, because Newcastle will face Chelsea at Stamford Bridge with a 12 noon kickoff. Sorry, I should say at St James's Park with a 12 noon kickoff on Tyneside. Newcastle 11-10 to claim the victory. It's 23-10 Chelsea, and 5-2 the draw. Dan, we'll start with you with this one. Fourth against fifth, two teams level on points. Are they as level as the stats suggest?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, I mean, Chelsea, they kind of dipped, didn't they, after, you know, second half of the season, but they found a little bit of form more recently. Won three Premier League games in a row for the first time since December, so they're kind of hitting form at the right time. I mean, you could sort of question the form line of some of those wins. I mean, they got to play Everton after Tarkowski had been injured, which was a big blow to Everton before that game. They played Liverpool, you know, the match after Liverpool won the title. So that made that game certainly easier than it would have been. But if you win three games in a row, confidence is going to be rising. And I would say they certainly look ready to compete, shall we say, at St James's Park, which is never an easy place to go. I mean, Newcastle grabbed a really good points the last time out, the late goal they got at Brighton. Been really strong over the last sort of eight games. I think they've picked up 19 points in the last eight games. So their form over the last couple of months is probably better. But certainly I see a tight match taking place.
I just wonder how much home advantage might apart here, Mark, with such a big game. And Newcastle have won the last five at St James's Park, but they've also got their injury problems to contend with. No Joe Linton will be a big blow.
Yeah, I mean, Joe Linton, what he lacks in grace, he kind of makes up for with other qualities, you know, a lot of energy, physicality. you know, does very well in sort of duels and winning the ball back and stopping play, fouls, and, you know, all the things that you need to do. And that unit that Newcastle have got with Tonali, Guimaraes and Joe Linton, probably been the bedrock, really, for their success. Everybody talks about Isak and, you know, his qualities up front, and he has done well, and they've got pace and sort of trickery out wide. But I think the platform is laid by those three midfielders, and there is a drop-off outside of that. I think we saw that last season, didn't we, with Newcastle, when they were playing Champions League and had some injuries, when they weren't able to have kind of their best team available sort of more often, then the results really dipped for them and they found themselves out of Europe altogether for this season. I think that's helped them. You know, they've won the EFL Cup, but apart from that, you know, they've not had to kind of go through the same processes that the teams, particularly in the Champions League and Europa League, have had to go through, and that's helped them. But the downside is that their drop off from their best 11 is a concern, and I think it's something that if they're in the Champions League next season, Eddie Howe will have to address over the summer, because it's no good only being sort of a good side when you've got your best players out there. And I mean, Joe Linton is a key absentee in that midfield.
Yeah, I think one major plus for Chelsea, of course, Dan, was the return to form of Cole Palmer, who I thought was absolutely excellent against Liverpool last week at Stamford Bridge. Could he be a significant role in this game?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, he's a, you know, like every player, there's this saying about being a confidence player. I mean, every player is, but it won't do him any harm, you know, because he had a bit of a barren spell, wouldn't he, by his standards over the last few weeks. So coming into form with these three critical games to go, it will certainly help Chelsea. I just think with this game, I'm gonna go towards the draw here. I mentioned earlier, I don't see a big gap between the teams. I wonder as well whether they're going to be looking at like the gap to Nottingham Forest as well. Forest have had a bit of a dip. The Forest are in sixth place at the moment. It's all about keeping ahead of that side. If there's a point, a piece in this game, they're both going to stay certainly above Forest with two games to go. I just wonder if that might play into it. If it's kind of level with 20 minutes to go, how much are either team going to really take a risk in pushing for that victory? So I'm going to go for the draw.
And you, Mark, what's your best bet for this game?
I'm going to go for Newcastle to win. The early kickoff on the Sunday might impact the atmosphere slightly at St James's Park. But if we have a look at their sort of run at home, you mentioned it earlier on about sort of the wins that they put together. But I'm thinking more about the performances against the bigger teams. You know, they drew with Liverpool, they drew against Man City, and they've beaten Arsenal twice at St James's Park. And, you know, I think this will be a difficult game for Chelsea, and I'm still not 100% convinced by them. And as Dan mentioned earlier, just think that they've had a nice little cushy run of fixtures with the way that it's fallen. This is tougher than, say, Liverpool last week for them. So, yeah, I'm going to go Newcastle.
OK, just a reminder, it is a 12 noon kickoff on Sunday. It doesn't happen very often. We have that earlier start on a Sunday, but busy all weekend, of course, across the Premier League. And we kick off in terms of Saturday's games at 3 o'clock. No early kickoff on Saturday. We've got four games kicking off at 3 o'clock, and we'll start off in alphabetical order with a game at Craven Cottage, where Fulham play host to Everton. Fulham 17-20, the draw 12-5, and Everton 7-2. Everton will be really frustrated, Mark, with what happened against Ipswich last week. Can they bounce back?
Yeah, I mean, I think bouncing back by getting a draw is the way I'm going for this one. They've had seven draws in 12. Everton are a team that I mentioned it last week. I don't really like them when they're short prices, because I just find them unreliable in terms of winning games. But they're a difficult side to put away. And I'd say the same about Fulham, really, that you know, they're odds on. And I just wonder about the firepower, really, to win the game.
Yeah, difficult, I suppose, to call this one because of the unpredictability and the nature of both of these two teams, Dan.
Yeah, I just can't have Fulham at odds on here. I just think there's kind of need to win factors, you know, influencing the price here. And I don't think Everton are playing like a team that's on the beach. David Moyes, he keeps them going, keeps them honest. Even the last away game, they lost. I mentioned about Tartakovsky being out. They were still very competitive, lost the game 1-0 and competed well, you know, on the stats, on the, I think they lost the shot count 10-6. Fulham, have been a bit out of sorts, so haven't they? Only got 3 points from the last four games, and that was when they got a last gasp winner away to Southampton. That's a bit of a worry for me when you're looking at backing them at odds on. So I'm going to go same bet as Mark, the draw for me.
Okay. Up next, it's to Portman Road, where Ipswich, who have now had their relegation confirmed, will play host to a Brentford team who can now smell Europe after a really good run of results. Ipswich 4-1 to claim the victory here. Brentford 13-20 and the draw 3-1. Brentford on a bit of a roll down at the moment.
They are, and I'm not. I think they've done fantastically well. Right in the thick of that race now, aren't they, for a European qualification? Got two, incredible threats with Mbeumo and Vissa up front. I just, the price here for me, it's too short for me. And even though all the form lines are kind of pushing you towards backing them, I just feel that Ipswich, they've got two home games to go. I know their home record's awful, but I think they are going to be looking to give their fans something before the end of the season. Some of their recent away performances have been pretty decent as well. Got a draw at Chelsea, come from behind last weekend as well, from two goals down at Everton, and get a 2-2 draw shows you that they're certainly still at it. They have got a lot of injuries, Ipswich, but I think with them there, with the way their squad's been assembled, they've got a group of players where the players coming in are usually as good as the ones that are kind of missing out. So I do think they'll be competitive. And as much as I really respect what Brentford have done in recent weeks, I just think their price is a bit short. I'm going to go with Ipswich or draw, double chance.
Okay. Price too short for you, Mark, as well, for Brentford?
Yeah, I sort of agree, really, with just everything that Dan's just said. Brentford are playing well, scoring a lot of goals, but that's factored into the prices here. And it's almost as if the price is saying that Ipswich, because they're relegated, are not going to be motivated. I just don't see that, really. I think there's a lot of pride in the team, and I think that McKenna, I don't see wholesale changes to this Ipswich team for next season. I think when they bought the players, sort of the best of the Championship, it was almost sort of half thinking, they're not going to say it out loud, but if we go down, we're going to have a really good side next season. And, it's not like sometimes you get these players where a team's relegated and you just know that sort of 15 of them are departing, and it's hard for the manager to keep things going. I just don't see that with Ipswich. And the only thing I would say about Brentford, nobody mentions Ivan Toney anymore. So, remarkably well how they kind of compensated for his absence. But just at the prices, too short for me.
Well, if a number of players are going to be staying at Ipswich next season, you could probably flip it on the reverse for Southampton, who might well see a bit of a mass exodus from St Mary's. They're at home to Manchester City at 3 o'clock on Saturday. Southampton as big as 11-1 to win this game. It's 5-1 on City and 6-1 the draw. And obviously Southampton would have probably been looking at this fixture earlier in the season and fearing the worst then, Mark. But the fact that City are on a winning run at the moment as well makes it even worse.
Yeah, I mean, to go to Leicester, lose as Southampton did. A lot of people were saying, weren't they, that Southampton are a better side than Leicester. And then when it actually came to the crunch, they weren't able to sort of show that. And where I was saying about Ipswich's motivation, like, I just don't see that with Southampton, because they've got a manager that's not going to be there. I'm not sure. New manager might want new players and probably be a clear out anyway. Massive golf in quality and class anyway. I'm going to go for Man City to win and under 4.5 goals. I've said it previously, but I do think Guardiola has tightened City up. He's not anywhere near as free-flowing as what they were earlier on in the season. He's just in job-done mode. Saw it last week against Wolves, and something like 2-0, 3-0 looks the way to play it, I think, if you want to go correct score route.
Quite a lot of people at the moment, Dan, suggesting that City might catch Arsenal for second spot. I mean, if that is going to be the case, then you'd expect them to win at Southampton?
Yeah, absolutely. I've got exactly the same bet, actually, City and under 4.5 goals. I just think they look in a focused and determined mood, shall we say. I think that, you've got the getting through to the FA Cup final. That's obviously a big deal, but I think they're really laser focused on having no slip ups in this push for Champions League qualification. I think they've possibly, with Haaland, being injured recently, sacrificed a little bit going forward and have really nailed down the defensive side. 5 clean sheets in the last 7 games for City. And Southampton, they've shown a couple of recent signs, haven't they, with a draw away to West Ham and lost late on, as I mentioned earlier, against Fulham. But that result and performance at Leicester was a reminder, really, of where they are and how much work they got to do. So huge golf here, comfortable City win.
Maybe a more difficult game to call at Molineux, where Wolves take on Brighton at 3 o'clock on Saturday. Wolves 17-10. It is 6-4 Brighton and the draw 5-2. Wolves a little bit unlucky to lose against City last week. Dan, off the back of what would have been a really good run of results. I suppose we should mention as well, Vitor Pereira and the job that he's done has been excellent.
Fantastic job. Performed very well at City as well, irrespective of the result. Had 6 wins in a row before then. And I'm sure he'd be looking to, maybe have a good summer and, look towards pushing towards the top half for next season. Issue could be replacing Cunha, obviously, up front. But I think in this game, I mentioned the form they've been on. I know they've had the setback at City, but I looked at the prices. They're a shade of odds against Drawner, but even if that fell to around evens, I'd be prepared to take it. Brighton have not been in the greatest of form recently. That conceding, dropping the 2 points as well late on against Newcastle was a big blow. Only won 1 of their last 7 games, and this looks a really tough away trip for me. So Wolves, Drawner bet is the selection.
Yeah, Mark, I've been looking at Brighton actually, and it kind of goes under the radar a little bit that they've had quite a few players missing. João Pedro's been out suspended, of course. Ruter and Matoma at times recent weeks as well. That's obviously had an impact.
Yeah, it has. You could argue sort of results of, being better than performances. I'm looking at the 2 home games where, got it really late against West Ham, sort of nicked it from 2-1 down, and, West Ham are not in great shape at the moment. Leicester, there was not a great performance in that game, was it really? And even Newcastle fully deserved a draw and probably felt like they should have won the game. So there's still something to play for Brighton, but they're limping over the line. And yeah, I've got me and Dan are in agreement with quite a few of these games. Had exactly the same bet. I was surprised that Wolves were outsiders on the draw no bet for this game.
I'd agree. We go on now to the 5:30 game on Saturday. It's at the Vitality Stadium where Bournemouth take on Aston Villa. Bournemouth 7-5, Villa 7-4, and the draw 13-5. Villa seem to be grinding out those results at the moment, Mark, and getting themselves closer and closer to Champions League football again.
Well, it's going to be difficult for them. They've got the worst, in terms of sort of most of the teams above them, they've got the worst goal difference. And because of their goal difference, I think they're going to need to get to 69 points, which means they'll need to win all 3 of their remaining matches. Thankfully for them, the last 2 are against Tottenham and Manchester United, so they'll be properly fancying the ability to get maximum points in those 2 games. So this is a massive, massive game for Aston Villa. I think they'll go there to Bournemouth thinking we need to win this game. Bournemouth are trying for Europe themselves, might be sort of more Conference League than Europa League, but a great result for them last week at Arsenal. And I just think the fact that both teams need to win, I can just see a really entertaining game. I'm going over 2.5 goals at 4-6. Aston Villa had been overs in 15 of their last 17 games. So last week was more of a grind, but that was sort of not a typical Villa win.
Arguably, Dan, outside of Pep Guardiola, you could say that these are 2 of the most shrewd tactical managers in the Premier League. 2 Spaniards going head-to-head. How's it going to go, do you think?
I'm edging towards Bournemouth here. Going to go with Bournemouth, shade of odds against on the draw, no bet. Had a fantastic season. Kind of reminded everyone of their ability with that, 2-1 win at Arsenal last time out. Arsenal went really strong as well, stronger than expected with their lineup for that fixture. Come from behind to get the win. They're 5 games unbeaten now, and they're really pushing, I think. For a club of Bournemouth size, if they could get European football, it's a massive deal for them. So we talk about Villa and how motivated they're going to be to get in the Champions League, but for Bournemouth, this is a big, big game for them. And I just think there's been Villa have been piling quite a lot of wins up in the Premier League. I've just noticed a bit of a drop-off in their performance ever since they got knocked out of the Champions League. Really, I thought they were dreadful in the FA Cup semi-final against Palace. They kind of ground out a win, didn't they, against Fulham last weekend. But I just think this is quite a bit tougher Bournemouth away. I'm going to I don't think Bournemouth will lose, put it that way. So Bournemouth on the draw, no bet.
Okay, we'll head into a busy Sunday now. No fewer than three games kicking off at 2:15 on Sunday. And we'll start off with a game at Old Trafford where Manchester United take on West Ham. United evens, the Hammers 11-4 and the draw around 5-2. Of course, we're recording this prior to Thursday evening's Europa League action. Dan, we'll start with you with this one. It's the lesser of two evils, possibly, as to who comes out on top, bearing in mind recent league form.
This is a horrible game, I think, to come up with a tip, to be honest. I mean, you've got, I mean, West Ham's price doesn't look great, does it, for, you know, considering the form that they've been in. No winning eight for them. Drew 1-1 at home to Spurs. He made eight changes, you know, last weekend. They're far more interested in the preparing for the Bodo Glimt game. And Man United, although they're 3-0 up against Bilbao, they're still going to be hugely focused on just getting over the line in that. And they're going to go full strength. And then I'm sure that there'll be them resting players, you know, for the weekend. So, you know, to kind of fancy them, even at the price, I mean, they're around evens, is difficult as well. So I'm just going to sit on the fence here, going to go with a draw. I don't see it being a fantastic game with lots of goals, so that increases the chances of a draw.
I often think, Mark, at this stage of the season, there's probably an argument to be made for both managers to shake hands and go, should we take a 1-1 without playing the 90 minutes? And this seems to be one of those games.
I think Graham Potter would definitely take that at the moment. He's getting a lot of stick. He's not really lifting the morale around West Ham. I don't think the fans like him that much. He had this at Chelsea, didn't he, where his personality was seen as dull, really, and sort of just need, I think West Ham one of them teams where you just need a bit more in the dugout, a bit more fire. You know, Slaven Bilic had his faults, but you know, he was somebody to be charging around the touchline. And you know, West Ham, I think, prefer that type of manager, really, than somebody like Potter. The performance against Tottenham, I got that game wrong. I thought that West Ham would be up for it and, you know, play on the front foot and really go after what I knew would be a weakened and distracted Tottenham. And I mean, they drew 1-1 and it was played in like a funeral, like a morgue atmosphere, really. I think that's a big concern for West Ham. So I'm going to go for Man United to win. They're 3-0 up against Athletic Bilbao. Athletic are missing some massive players for them in the second leg as well. So, I mean, I don't want to speak too soon here, but this could age terribly. But I don't see it being the kind of night like United had against Lyon, where, you know, it was 120 minutes, frantic, and, you know, was played in just a crazy atmosphere. So I think they'll be able to just, you know, get through that game. I think because they're going to get through, that'll lift the atmosphere at Old Trafford. Everyone will be excited about going to Bilbao for a European final. And I think the lesser of two evils for me here is Manchester United.
Okay, well, up next, it's to the City Ground for Nottingham Forest against Leicester. Two East Midlands rivals going head-to-head. Forest 4-11 to win the game. It's 13-2 Leicester, and the draw is 4-1. Leicester might be down, Mark, but I'm sure they'd love nothing better than to scupper Forest's Champions League hopes.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of the last thing they've got to play for this season. No love lost between the two teams when former Forest manager Steve Cooper went in at Leicester. It always felt like he was fighting against that link to the City Ground, and that he wasn't going to be truly accepted unless he did something exceptional. He'll argue that they were outside the relegation zone when he left, and so he was doing a very good job. But, you know, all water under the bridge now. Like, you can't ask for more if you're Nottingham Forest and Leicester at home this stage of the season. They've got West Ham the week after, and then they finish against Chelsea. So from Nuno's point of view, I think just take it to that last game and give yourself a chance going into that one. I think they'll beat Leicester, but it might be one of them just sort of Nuno-type performances where the win is more important than the performance and sort of entertaining the fans. Going for Forest to win and under 3.5 goals. And Leicester, you know, they beat Southampton. And I think in more recent weeks, they have actually been slightly more competitive, I would say.
Are you on the side of Forest here as well, Dan?
Yeah, I've got the same bets. Forest and under 3.5 goals at odds against. I mean, they've got the win going into this, didn't they, Leicester against Southampton? But, I mean, they've been their results have been just dreadful for such a long time. I know the performance have taken a little bit of an uptick recently, but they've not even scored in 10 of the last 12 Premier League games. And you're up against the Nottingham Forest team that, you know, they might not be the most free-flowing going forward. They've only conceded 13 Premier League goals on home soil. So there'll certainly be a lot of nerves in the ground. I mean, it's become, you know, getting into the Champions League is such a huge deal for Nottingham Forest, and they're in the mix. They have been wobbling a little bit recently, but I just think there's quite a bit of a gap here in quality between the teams, and I can see Forest getting over the line.
It's an all-London affair at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium at 2:15 in the other game in the Premier League on Sunday. Spurs 13-8 to beat Palace, who are 6-4, and the draw around 13-5. Just to reiterate again, recording this before the Europa League. So Tottenham, of course, will have been in Norway to take on Bodo Glimt. How do you see them doing here, Dan, against a Palace team who, you know, are still a threat at this stage of the season with that FA Cup final on the horizon?
I think either way, Spurs are will struggle here. I just think that if they get through, I mean, they're heavy favourites to get past Bodo Glimt. I don't think it's a straightforward tie, by the way. You know, playing in the Arctic Circle on an artificial pitch, and you know, and Bodo, you know, I don't want to go too much into that game, you know, very strong at home, but I certainly don't think it'll be straightforward. So you've got the possibility could even go to extra time. But either way, even if Spurs sail through that, all focus is going to then be on the final. The final is actually not that far away. It's only 2 weeks away, and I don't think Ange's going to be, you know, utilising players that were involved heavily on the Thursday night. I think it'll be mass changes again. And mass changes for Spurs at the moment could lead to quite a weakened team because of the injury situation has started to increase. Doubts over Solanke. Maddison looks like he's out for the season now. And you're up against a Palace side. Although they've got the cup final to look forward to, their kind of performances are not really dipping. Either side have beaten Villa at Wembley. They've got a 2-2 draw at Arsenal. They've had the 1-1 draw at home to Forest on the Monday. They've got real threats as well, you know, at the top end of the pitch with Saar, Eze, Mateta. I don't see him losing this game against a Spurs team that are either going to be demoralised or distracted. So Palace drawn, I bet, for me.
It does seem like a great opportunity for Palace, Mark, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, I think that is reflected in the prices somewhat. And I would be just wondering about some of them Palace players in terms of, like, their commitment to the cause. Now, before the semi-final, they actually were fully up for it. But, you know, FA Cup final, it sort of just comes up another couple of notches, doesn't it? So I've found this game really difficult to call. The one thing I just looked at was that I expect Spurs to make changes. And I think Kevin Danso is somebody who looks a threat from set pieces for Spurs. So he's sort of 30-1. And I think if you shop around, you might even be able to get bigger on him to score at any time. And in the 9 games when he's played at least 45 minutes for Tottenham, he's had 7 shots. So he is somebody that is a target without a question from set pieces. So in a game where, you know, I think it's a smelly one to try to have a proper bet on, something at a massive price might just be the way to go.
Okay, well, last but not least, it's the 4:30 game on Sunday at Anfield where Liverpool take on Arsenal. And if you've gone back to the end of February, start of March, this was being built as a potential title decider. Things have gone awry for Arsenal. Liverpool, of course, have already sealed the title since then. The Reds are evens to win on Sunday with Arsenal 13-5 and the draw 13-5. Difficult, I suppose, in some circumstances here, Mark, to work out how both sides are going to look towards this. Arsenal, obviously, massively disappointed with what happened in midweek. Liverpool, of course, were a bit flat and predictably maybe at Chelsea last week. How do you see this one going?
I think it is a tough one to call. I'm just going to go over 2.5 goals. Nothing riding on the game particularly. I think there'll be a party atmosphere at Anfield. There was at Stamford Bridge in the away end last week, but it was a very relaxed performance, I think we should say, from Chelsea. Now, maybe at home, it will be more sort of focus on the points rather than the pints, as Pereira says, the Wolves manager, and that it'll be something more akin to the Liverpool first team because he did give chances to a couple of other players and that midfield didn't work great. As far as Arsenal are concerned, they need to pick themselves up. This is probably the best game to try to pick themselves up. You know, Saka's playing very well on the right-hand side of that. Arsenal attack. What I don't like about Arsenal at the moment is I don't think they're defending to the levels that they were earlier on in the campaign, probably down to the absence of Gabriel. But even a few Arsenal fans have just mentioned they don't think Saliba is quite at the top of his game either. So, as you say, a couple of months ago, I mean, this would have been a really tight, tense game. Now there's nothing riding on it. Just expect a friendly game in the sun, over 2.5 goals.
Yeah, I mean, it's just looking at the stats before, Dan. You have to go back to 2012 for the last time Arsenal won a league game at Anfield. I wonder whether that sort of run has any bearing on this.
I don't think it's going to end this weekend. I just think Liverpool, the game against Chelsea, the one after they won the title, was always, looking back, was going to be the one where the levels are going to drop. I think after that, the fact that they have lost the game and didn't play that great, I think it will make it even more of a motivation, in a home game, to prepare properly, go with a stronger side, play with more intensity. And I think if they do that, I see them winning the game. I think it might be like one of them games too far for Arsenal. The fact that they've played, the two legs against PSG and the game in the middle of that, I mentioned earlier that they went pretty much full strength as well against Bournemouth. So they've kind of been at it, really trying to, push it energy-wise in the last couple of weeks. They've put a hell of a lot in, mentally and physically as well, into that PSG game. I just wonder if there'll be a drop-off at Anfield and a fresher Liverpool could take advantage. Liverpool to win for me.
OK, that is the Premier League covered. Up next, it's the EFL.
Do you want football-free bets? All the best offers from your favourite bookmakers can be found in one place. Check out racingpost.com/free-bets to find out more. Racing Post, stay ahead of the field.
Well, it is, of course, time for the playoffs in the EFL, and for the neutrals, it's something that we always look forward to every season. Promises to be another cracking couple of weeks before we get those Wembley finals. We're going to have a look at who Dan, in particular, thinks will go through in terms of winning promotion across all three leagues. And obviously, we'll start off with the Championship, Dan, where Sheffield United are the 6-4 favourites to be promoted. It's Sunderland at 11-4, Coventry are 100-30, and Bristol City 4-1. And just for those tuning in who weren't sure of who's facing who, Bristol City against Sheffield United is the first leg on Thursday of their Championship playoff, and Coventry against Sunderland in the other semi-final. How do you see it then, Dan, panning out in the Championship?
I fancy Sheffield United. I mean, when you see the prices first, I mean, it gets cool, doesn't it? The playoff lottery kind of lazily, doesn't it? And so in a four-team race, you look at 6-4 and you think, well, it's easy to knee-jerk and think, well, that's quite a bit, that's a bit short.
Yeah.
But then you look at the last 5 years, the promoted teams have either finished third or fourth in the Championships. So it's not actually been much of a lottery. And this season, there's a potential for it to be, quite a gulf, really. With the fact that you've got Sheffield United finished on 90 points, they actually had a two-point deduction. So they accrued 92 points. Sunderland got 76, Coventry 69. My mind's gone blank here. And Bristol City 68. There's a huge gulf here between the teams. And they have kind of, often the argument against the third place team is, they were disappointed to miss out on automatic. Now, that is the case, but they have refocused, got a good 2-0 win away to Stoke. The 1-1 against Blackburn in the final match, they played to a high level and should have won that game against the Blackburn team pushing for the playoffs. So there was a kind of edge on that game, as there was on the Stoke game. And I just think they're semi-final against Bristol City. I think there's a big gulf between the teams. I can see them getting through that. Bristol City limped over the line, really. Put 1 point from their last three games. They thought they needed to win their last game at home to Preston. Could only manage a 2-2 draw and got in because Blackburn and Millwall failed to win their last game of the season. So Bristol City, I don't fancy. The other semi-final, I think, is going to be is a much tougher one to choose from. I think Sunderland, as we know, have had a shocking finish to the season, lost their last 5 games, lost their intensity since they've kind of fell out of the race for automatic promotion. So there's big doubts over them. Coventry have also had a bit of a sketchy run as well. People ignore the fact that they've lost 5 of their last 10 matches. And I would worry with them with the second leg being at the Stadium alike. They're away form. has been falling off a cliff. They really didn't turn up in the live match against Sheffield United where they were beaten 3-1. Since then, they've lost 3-1 away to Plymouth and 1-0 at Luton when they were pushing for the playoffs. So Coventry's away form worries me. I think there's a good chance in this semi that the home team could win both legs. Who goes through up in the air? But overall, whoever gets to the final, I just think Sheffield United, as I mentioned before, with how strong they've been over the course of the season, got match winners in the side, Gus Hamer, O'Hare. They've got players that can provide a moment of magic. I think they'll seal the deal and win promotion.
Before we go on to League One, Mark, just a quick word from you on the Championship playoffs. I mean, Dan's alluded to it there. Sheffield United, they were over 20 points clear of Bristol City. Are you still on their side to go up?
Yeah, I always have a playoff treble at this stage of proceedings. I've backed Sheffield United in the Championship. I do think that there's quite a big gulf between them and the rest. In League One, I've backed Charlton because I think they've got the easiest semi-final against Wickham. And then in League Two, I think it's going to be really difficult for Walsall to raise their head after what happened to them losing out on automatic in the 96th minute last week. And therefore, I'm going for their semi-final opponents, Chesterfield. So Sheffield United, Charlton and Chesterfield for me.
OK, well, League One, as we've already touched upon, is Stockport 2-1, Charlton 9-4, Wickham 5-2, and Leighton Orient 9-2. It is Orient against Stockport and Wickham against Charlton in the semi-finals. How do you see this league going down?
I think this is going to be much more wide open. And I've gone with a value bet, which I on Leighton Orient at 9-2. I finished in sixth place, but with a hell of a run towards the end of the season. You know, six wins in a row they managed, and they needed to do that because Reading were pushing them all the way, you know, to get into that sixth spot. So they're kind of going to be battle-hardened. They've also got a lot of quality players. I mean, the Spurs loanee, Jamie Donnelly's been outstanding for them. Charlie Kelman, the top scorer in League One. And they're a very well-coached side as well by Richie Wellens. And I just think, you look at where they've come from. They lost the first four games of the season, were bottom of the table. Then they got injuries and had another poor run where they lost five in a row. And they've still got into the playoffs on a decent total of points as well late night. Not like kind of, you know, limping in like Bristol City, as I mentioned in the Championship. And I think their semi-final against Stockport have really pushed to the line as well. Got won seven and drawn one of their last eight games. I really like Stockport, the way they've kept going as well, despite losing Louis Barry in January. Incredible, really, that Louis Barry, after 23 games when he left, they had 37 points. They put another 50 on without him. So an amazing job that Dave Channel has done there. But I just think it's a toss-up, really, this tie. They're in great form, so late in Orient. And I'll just go with the team at the bigger odds, really, to get through that and then to win the final. I think I agree with what Mark said about Charlton, that they're certainly in much better form than Wickham. Beat them 4-0 towards the end of the season, which is, you know, a hell of a psychological edge they're going to have. The only worry I'd have over Charlton, they picked up a couple of injuries in that game. The centre-back, Lloyd Jones, has been influential for them, and Thierry Small, the winger, they haven't played since. So I'd be a little bit just concerned about, you know, how their fitness is going into the playoffs. The game after, they performed quite poorly and lost 3-0 at Wrexham, and then they bounced back with a 3-1 over Burton, who had been safe before that game. So that's my only slight concern over the show. I would still fancy them to get through their semi-final against Wickham, who have lost their last three games of the season. But overall, Orient the value for me.
OK, and finally, League Two. We've already said Walsall had that last day heartache, of course, and they've been in a woeful run of form over the last couple of months. They're as big as 3-1 now to win promotion from League Two. Wimbledon 9-4, Notts County 9-4, and Chesterfield 3-1. It's Notts County against Wimbledon and Chesterfield versus Walsall in the semi-finals. If you had to pick a team to be promoted, Dan, who would you go with in League Two?
I'm going to go with Chesterfield. I wouldn't touch the 3-1 Walsall with a barge pole. I mean, they've since losing Nathan Lowe. I mean, I talked about Stockport adapting well to losing Louis Barry. Well, Walsall certainly didn't, you know, adapt well to losing Nathan Lowe. Their loanee, star loanee for the first half of the season. They won one of their last 14 games. That was their final match, where, as Mark mentioned, they won. Away to Crewe, and then were denied after the final whistle. They heard that Bradford had scored in the last knock-ins against Fleetwood. So just been blow after blow for them. I just don't see how they picked themselves up. And Chesterfield got the opposite. They kind of got in on the last game, winning 1-0 at Accrington. They're unbeaten in six. They're in pretty good form. And as Mark mentioned, the fact that I really fancy Chesterfield to come through that semi, that makes them a good bet. I agree, Mark, to win the playoffs outright. I would go with them. The other semi, I think, is going to be harder to call, but I would slightly favour AFC Wimbledon just because they're quite a bit better defensively than Notts County. Notts County have got the two sort of star forwards in Yatta and McGoldrick who get a lot of their goals, but they have kind of struggled towards the end of the season, lost four of their last six matches when they were kind of pushing for automatic, you know. So that's a bit of a worry for me. Wimbledon came for a big test away to Grimsby to get into the playoffs, winning that game 1-0. I just think that that will kind of put them in good stead to maybe reach the final. But overall, Chesterfield, the value to go up.
OK, so that is all of the playoffs covered. We're going to turn our attentions back to the Premier League now because it's time for the Bet Builder. Mark has got three legs as ever to select from. And Mark, I think we're going for the Newcastle versus Chelsea clash.
Yeah, it's one of the few games really that's got a lot riding on it. And I think you do want to be focusing your attention on that type of fixture really at this stage of the season. That's why I like the playoffs, because at least you know everybody's trying. I'm going for over 1.5 goals, Newcastle against Chelsea. I don't think that Newcastle can play any other way really. They're much better going forward than they are defensively. A lot of forward thinking players in there, a lot of quality in the attacking third. And we saw with Chelsea as well, Palmer, is back to somewhere near his best. I think Neto playing well as well. Enzo Fernandez has got a bit more freedom to get forward with Lavia returning from injury. So expecting goals at St James's Park. Tonali to have a shot on target. He's actually averaging more shots and more shots on target than Bruno this season, which I think the way that they play, you wouldn't necessarily assume was the case, but he definitely likes having he shots as the Italian, and I've mentioned him earlier. I think Neto's been very dangerous for Chelsea in recent weeks. I'm going for him to have over 1.5 shots, which has happened in sort of in four of Chelsea's last five games. He's had at least two, so over 1.5 goals. Tonali shot on target, and Neto to have over 1.5 shots. It's around about 9-2.
Okay, and I know you've got a prop shop offer for us as well this week, Mark.
Yeah, I saw that Ait Nouri's been linked with sort of bigger clubs in the Premier League this week. He certainly caught the eye in recent fixtures. Going for him to have a shot on target at 9-4. He had a shot on target in four of his last five games. He's had 10 shots in total across those five games. And now I looked at Brighton. Last four matches, they've conceded 23 shots on target. So we know the way that Brighton play. You know, they want to attack, but it does leave the door open, and Ait Nouri might be able to take advantage.
Okay, well, all that remains for us now is the assist treble and the naps for this week. We'll start off with the treble selections, and Dan, we'll start with your selection first.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Chesterfield to win their playoff semi-final first leg at home to Walsall. I mean, at the end of the season, there was Walsall finished 7 points above Chesterfield, but the gap between these two at the end of February is 25 points. So they're going in different directions, these sides. And I just think Chesterfield are a solid bet odds against to get a first leg lead.
Okay, so Chesterfield for Dan. Mark, who are you going with?
I'm going to the Bundesliga win, and they're in the Champions League for Eintracht Frankfurt. They play St. Pauli, or a mid-table team. I mean, this is a really good opportunity for Eintracht to seal the deal.
And I'm going with Wolves because I really fancy them to beat Brighton on Saturday. They've won six in a row before the 1-0 loss to Manchester City Wolves we mentioned earlier. Matheus Cunha is back in the team now. Looks to be trying to play his way to a big money move this summer. At the other end, Brighton out of form. They've won just one of the last eight in all competitions. Matoma is a doubt again as well for the weekend, which would be a concern for me. So I'm going with Wolves, and we'll wrap up this week's assist with the naps from Mark and Dan. And Mark, we'll start with your nap first.
Yeah, so they say that bookmakers never make mistakes, but the early prices for League One promotion had Wickham ahead of Charlton in the betting. It has sort of flipped around now, and Charlton are 4-5 to qualify against Wickham. I still think that that is fair enough. They beat them 4-0 over Easter. And if you have a look at the calendar year, so since the start of 2025, they've picked up 15 more points than Wickham. And I spoke to a Wickham fan in the pub last week. Not always the greatest place to get your research, but he was telling me that this new gaffer just hasn't got a clue what he's doing.
Okay. And Dan, what's your nap for this week?
You're going to go with Palace drawing a bet at Spurs. I mean, Spurs are either going to be on the floor, you know, having been knocked out of the Europa League, or they're going to be, you know, all their eggs are going to be in the basket of focusing on the final. So I just think it's a great time for Palace to go there. Played okay in a 1-1 draw home to Forest, you know, on Monday, and I think they'll go to Spurs and win.
Okay, big thanks to Mark and Dan for all their efforts this week. Don't forget, of course, to like, subscribe and comment on the Racing Post YouTube channel. And if you like your golf, this Tuesday on the Sweet Spot, Steve Palmer will be looking ahead to the second major of the year. It's the US PGA Championship. Make sure you join him and Dave Clark for that. In the meantime, enjoy your football this weekend and please remember to gamble responsibly.